Open up your Bibles today to the book of 1 Corinthians. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we resume our study in verse number 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things about which you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. In other words, marriage is good, but so is being single under the right conditions, as we will see in a few minutes. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. It's better to be married than to commit sexual sin because you're not married. And will you notice that marriage is God's way to avoid sexual sin? Living together apart from marriage or any other kind of sexual arrangement is not of God. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife her due, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. To withhold what rightfully belongs to a husband or wife is sin. It in itself is sin, and it is cooperating with the devil whether the person realizes it or not. It is sin because it is setting their marriage partner up for another sin, sexual immorality. Verse 4. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Once a person gets married, their body belongs to their spouse as well as to them. Within the boundaries of love, within the boundaries of respect, and of course, Holy Scripture, their bodies belong to each other. Verse 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Husbands and wives should not refuse each other physically, except for a short time, and if both agree, for the reason of devoting themselves to God. But notice, it's supposed to be a short time, and it's supposed to be something that they both agree on, and then they're to get back to a normal relationship. If that doesn't happen, then you are drawing a spiritual target on your back and handing the devil a rifle. Verse 6. Verse 6 says, but I speak this by permission and not by commandment. In other words, no Christian is commanded to marry, nor are they commanded to be single. It is whatever is best for the individual, whatever works out best for them and for their walk with the Lord is what they should do. Verse 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Marriage is a gift from God. And being able to handle singleness is also a gift from God. And actually, according to the Bible, being single has some advantages because there are less obligations, and therefore more time can be spent with God and doing his work. Verse 8. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. If you can handle being single like the Apostle Paul, that's great. You have more time for Jesus, more time to read the Word, more time to study, more time for whatever. And the bigger lesson is this. Do not get involved in anything that might slow down your work for the Lord or hinder your walk with Him. Paul is saying, if you are single and you can handle it, then stay single and live for Jesus apart from the concerns of family life. 9. But if they cannot have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Being single and content is best if you're a Christian. Being single and constantly fighting off temptation is bad. Better to marry than to struggle with sin all the time. 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Some Corinthians were being taught that in order to show complete devotion to Jesus, they had to divorce their husband or their wife. Some were thinking, well, I just have to get a divorce so I can spend more time doing things for Jesus. God says, no. Stay married if you're married. A Christian can still live for Jesus being married. God doesn't command anybody to get a divorce. Verse 11, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. If a couple separates without biblical grounds, then they should stay single or return to each other. Actually, contrary to what some Christians believe, separation or divorce is not a sin. It's never a sin. Divorce is never a sin. God doesn't like it, but the divorce itself is not a sin. There's a lot of things that God doesn't like. Divorce isn't a sin. Remarriage to someone else, if there's been no biblical grounds for divorce, that's the sin. And even that sin is forgivable if one confesses. It's no different than any other sin. Again, contrary to what some Christians believe and how some Christians behave. Verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman who has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. If a non-Christian spouse is willing to live with their Christian spouse, then the Christian should be willing to do that. And that assumes, however, that the Christian is living for Jesus and doesn't compromise in order to keep the non-Christian husband or wife happy. 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. A little holiness in the family is better than none. One God-fearing parent is better for a child than no God-fearing parent. And that's why the Christian husband or wife should not divorce their non-Christian partner simply because they're not saved. The prayers and the holiness of the Christian in the family will have some sort of positive effect on the child and perhaps even on the unsaved partner, maybe. 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. If the spouse of a Christian doesn't want to be married to their Christian partner anymore, then God tells the Christian, go ahead and get a divorce. It is better to be separate and have peace than to be together and at each other's throats. We read in the Gospels that Jesus set aside the letter of the Sabbath law in order to be compassionate to people. And God is also willing to set aside the letter of the law of marriage, which he wants to be permanent. But he's willing to set it aside in order to be compassionate to his people. He wants us to be at peace, and sometimes divorce is the lesser of two evils. A lesser of two evils. In baseball, for example, it is never good for a pitcher to walk a batter. That's never a good thing because it puts a runner on first base. However, in certain circumstances, intentionally walking a batter is a lesser of two evils, because he might get a key base hit or a home run, and so the pitcher walks him, even though a walk is never a good thing. It's never a good thing, but sometimes it's the lesser of two evils. It's better than giving up a walk-off home run. And divorce is never good. It's never a good thing, but sometimes it is the lesser of two evils. And just in case you haven't learned this yet, many times in this fallen, sinful world, we have to choose between bad and worse. Not every choice is between good and bad. 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Someone says, well, I can't divorce my husband because maybe he will get saved through me. Yes. And maybe he will not. And then you will end up with a miserable life and all for nothing. God has plenty of people that he can use to bring someone to Christ. He doesn't necessarily need you so badly that you have to stay in a bad marriage. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Someone, serve Christ in the situation you are in and do the best that you can. If you can change for the better within scriptural parameters, then do it. If you can't, then play the hand that you have been dealt. 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Now, back in those days, some Jews who had been circumcised because they were Jewish were becoming Christians. Some Gentiles who were not a part of the Jewish religion and therefore had not been circumcised as a religious rite were becoming Christians as well. The Jewish Christians were trying to force the Gentile Christians to get circumcised, saying that they needed to go through that religious ritual in order to be saved. God is saying, quit trying to shove someone in your little mold. If I've accepted them through my Son, Jesus Christ, and I have, if they have received him as Lord and Savior, then just leave them alone. They don't have to be like you. And that holds true today as well. They don't have to be like you. And they don't have to be like me. 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Circumcision was a part of the law that Christ did away with on the cross. The important thing today is not going through an Old Testament ritual or any other kind of ritual. The important thing today is pleasing God by loving Jesus and keeping his commandments. Many people focus on things that do not matter. The Bible says that the important thing is faith working through love. 20. Let every man abide in the same calling in which he was called. If the Lord has received you because you have received his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, then who is man to question that and try to make you be something different than you are? Be content with who you are in Christ. Jesus accepts you, so accept yourself and don't try to be like others, and don't let others tell you that you have to be like them, because you don't. 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. God says that we are to be content no matter what state we are in. So contentment is a command, but that doesn't mean that we can't try to improve our situation. Advancement is fine as long as advancement doesn't become our God. Change is fine as long as we don't allow change to become our God. 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Our position in Christ and our relationship with him transcends all personal situations. In Christ, we can experience inner freedom, even if we are in bondage to terrible circumstances, by drawing closer to him. 23, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Put Jesus first. We have no right to allow ourselves to become slaves to anything in this godless world. We have no right to allow ourselves to become slaves even to good things. Jesus bought us out of hell by his death, and so we should be his servants forever. 24, brethren, let every man in whatever state he is called there abide with God. Change your situation if you're able to improve it. By all means, change your situation if it is sinful. However, don't make a God out of change, and don't worry about things that you can't change. We have Christ, and he will help us to endure. 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my command, or my judgment, as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. In other words, what he's saying is this: I'm about to make a distinction between good, better, and best. And by the way, we should never settle for good when we have an opportunity to experience better or best. And that's why he's talking about this. 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Time is very valuable, is a very valuable gift for Christians. Change often contemplates things, complicates things, and complications can take our attention off of Jesus. Therefore, Paul says, if you are married, that's fine. If you are not married, that's fine. Do not rush around trying to find someone to marry. Put God first, focus on him, and everything else will fall into place. 28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Marriage can be wonderful, but it sometimes comes with complicated problems. That's why Scripture says if you can handle being single, stay single, your life is going to be much simpler. 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. If you are married, be the best husband or wife that you can be. But make sure God is more important to you than your spouse. None of us are given a lot of time to work for Christ. So consequently, none of us can afford to put anyone or anything before Jesus. 30. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Don't let happiness or sadness drive a wedge between you and Christ. Good times, bad times, prosperity and poverty can easily consume Christians. If that's allowed to happen, it becomes a wedge between us and our Savior. So it's important to be on guard so that it doesn't happen. Verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Make good use of the world. Enjoy it the best that you can. Just don't become attached to it. Don't live for the things of this world, because this world will pass away one of these days, or we will die one of these days. Either way, we won't have it. And so it is smart not to invest too much energy into something that we are bound to lose, especially when we can invest it in something that we will never lose. Verse 32. But I would have you without care. It is good to carefully consider our options and make choices that will result in the fewest complications, as well as the choices which in general are best for us. The simpler we keep our life, the more freedom we will have to serve Jesus. Verse 32 again. But I would have you without care. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. A married man is able to serve the Lord, but it is different than being single. A single Christian can devote more of his time to Jesus and keep his focus on Christ with fewer distraction than if he were married. 33. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And that's a good thing, because a husband should please his wife and care for her. Caring for your wife and doing what is in her best interest is also serving the Lord. So a man can serve Christ being married, but not in the same way and not with the same freedom as if he were single. Verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin, an unmarried woman. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in her body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. God expects a Christian wife to please her husband. And that is also what a Christian wife will want to do if her relationship with Jesus is what it should be. Like the husband, a Christian wife can be dedicated to Christ, but not in the same way and not with as much freedom as a single woman. 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Let's just stop there for a second. God has said these things to help us, not to keep us from being married, not to keep us single or anything like that. He just wants us to do what is fitting for us, and along with that, enable us to serve him best. Again, verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is seemly, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. It is good to be married, as we have seen. However, reality is, a married person usually has many more things to juggle than a single person. They often have to cram in a few minutes with God between cooking, cleaning, dishes, changing diapers, work, shopping, spending time with their husband or wife, and the children, and all the other things that go along with family life. Personal time with Christ is sometimes hard to find for a married person. 36. But if any man think that he behaves himself unseemly toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sins not. Let them marry. In other words, if a man and a woman really like each other to the point where spending time together is like playing with fire, then they should get married. Either that or stay away from each other. If needs so require, they should marry. Verse 37. Nevertheless, he that stands fast or steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. In other words, if you can stay single, control yourself, and serve God, that's great. It's good to be able to put a life for the Lord above everything else and not have any distractions. 38. So then, he that gives her in marriage does well, but he that gives her not in marriage does better. If marriage is not a real need for you or for someone, then it doesn't make sense to marry. Why put up with the hassles if you can stay single and serve the Lord? You know, Christians shouldn't think that everything would be wonderful if they were only married, because that's not the case. There's an upside and there's a downside, depending on if they find the right woman or man. And it's important for each Christian to seek the Lord for what he has for them. 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. This is something that's very important. Christians must only marry Christians. God limits our choices in order to limit our troubles. I ministered as an interim pastor for, at least 6 months at a church in another town. And in that church, which had a lot of problems, every single solitary major problem that I dealt with, including a gruesome murder, could all be traced back directly to the sin of a Christian marrying a non-Christian. Don't do it. I don't care. Don't do it. If they don't have a testimony concerning Jesus Christ, don't marry them. You say, but they go to church. Don't marry them. But they've been confirmed. Don't marry them. If they don't have a testimony, a personal testimony concerning who Jesus is, don't marry them. You'll destroy your life. 40. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Sometimes a person is happier just living with the memory of a deceased husband or wife and using the extra time they have to serve the Lord.